Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Gonna get to what Ben thinks about prospective Steeler playoff opponents and the one team he wants to avoid in these playoffs. And we'll deliver our own opinions on that and how tonight's game might have something to say about that. Pretty big game tonight. But in the meantime, I was tuned in alerted to an unbelievable fact regarding one of my new favorite Pittsburgh sports media people. The man affectionately known as Destiny's Child.
And you know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting the date out there.
It never gets old, does it, Andrew?
That's always entertaining and always good to hear from you, Joe. That's, now Derek Shelton's probably got a few nicknames to work with me, but Destiny's Child is certainly a good one for sure.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. I don't know you very well, but in my observations and in our limited interactions in person, you seem like an exceedingly nice man and very mild-mannered. Do you think mild-mannered is a way to describe you?
It's funny. So everybody that I work with professionally, I think, would say that. But if you asked anybody in my personal life in terms of when I'm playing sports as a kid or when it comes to goofing with buddies, I'd say anything but. But yeah, I think that applies to a lot of people. But on the professional side, I certainly like to keep it even keeled. But when I was a kid playing on the basketball court, playing baseball, I would say I was anything but mild mannered. I was always the kid playing catcher who'd turn to the umpire and get real upset and ask where that one missed and things like that.
Okay. So there is some anger in there, perhaps latent at times.
Yeah, definitely on the basketball court. There's, not to send people down the rabbit hole, but if you go on YouTube, Love My Dad, he's got all sorts of videos from me when I played in high school and whatnot, and there's some ones where I definitely let the fire show a little bit. So maybe that side of me has tempered a little bit, but yeah, as a kid, I definitely let it get going, and I love, I'm a competitive guy at heart. I'm maybe like a bit of a silent killer. Let's put it that way, I guess.
Well, this is why we have you on right now. Because you're a fascinating figure. You're a chameleon, and you're in many ways a paradox. And I was just shooting the bull here with Sean earlier today, and it came up, and yet you're this mild mannered man, and yet you find yourself in these unusual high profile situations like you and Shelty. With him saying, you making predictions and him getting a little bit ticked off and saying things like this.
You know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting the date out there.
And now I hear this earlier today. It just blew me away. The HBO special Winning Time, which I loved. In fact, I'm reading right now, again, the book that Winning Time was based on, and that's Showtime by Jeff Perlman. And that's one of my all-time favorite teams is the Showtime Lakers of the 80s. The HBO special, I don't know, maybe it was on a year ago or so, maybe a little longer than that, that you tried out for the part of Kevin McHale? What? How did that come about?
You heard all of that correctly, and I guess I should back up a little bit. So you mentioned Jeff Perlman, so certainly one of my favorite authors, whether it's that book on the winning, the Showtime Lakers, the Bo Jackson book, just a tremendous writer.
Walter Payton.
The list goes on, right, about profiles. He's down to sports figures. So the way I should back it up is the fall of 2022, I was living in State College covering Penn State for the Post-Gazette after graduation, and I came across a tweet of Perlman's where he basically said, hey, I'm looking for guys who played high school or college basketball who would be interested in appearing on Winning Time. And similar to you, Joe, I fell in love with the show. I watched the first season throughout my senior year of college with my roommates.
Yeah.
I played high school basketball, loved the game. I'm from California. My dad's brother and sister both live in the Los Angeles area. So I figured, you know what? I'll throw my name in the ring. I'll reach out. And so they asked for your name, height and weight, a picture of yourself, your basketball experience. And I sent that in to an email that Perlman had linked to. And I heard back from the HBO talent agency. And they said, hey, based on the photo and your qualifications, we think you're a candidate for the part of
Wow.
Kevin McHale.
Wow.
So here's a script of an exchange between McHale and Larry Bird.
City Limits would be a candidate for the role of Spud Webb, would he not, Sean? If they ever came aboard him.
He's got the height part, yeah.
Sorry, Andrew. Go ahead.
No, that's tremendous. I love that, by the way. Spud Webb, tremendous reference. I get the script, and it's an exchange between Bird and McHale, and it's them discussing, their frustration with the Lakers in some capacity. And it's, hey, we want you to record yourself, full scale, show that you're not reading off the script, memorize the script, record yourself reading these lines, and try to use a Minnesota accent where McHale is from
Minnesota.
As much as you can.
Yeah.
Try to be the gregarious guy that McHale was as a personality. I read the lines, I record it. I send it into the HBO talent agency, and they tell me thanks, but no thanks. And here we are. I applied for it. It's a great video that I've shown to all sorts of friends. It's tremendously embarrassing. It's me out of character, I would say, in the sense of trying to be an actor.
Can we hear it?
I don't think of a particularly good one. What's that?
Can we hear it? Can you send it to Sean, Don't Call Me Seth Meyers here?
So I'll try and dig it out, but it was from my old laptop, which unfortunately broke down on me. So I'd have to really dig back and find it, but I'll try my best for you guys.
And what was the line, if you remember? Was it just one line or a couple?
No, it was a back and forth. I had a friend of mine read me the lines of Larry Bird. So I'm reading the McHale part.
Yeah.
Larry's talking to me. It's Larry and Kevin are going back and forth over beers, lamenting a recent loss. And it had something to do with, guys not being locked in on defense, not willing to play as a unit, help defense, all that sort of stuff. And McHale lamenting the fact that he's the only guy who's willing to protect the rim and stuff like that. It was so I don't have the parts, word for word, the lines, but it was pretty funny to imagine, okay, I'm going to pretend to be Kevin McHale after a couple of beers, be loose, but also upset over the team not doing as well as they think they should.
This is incredible, Sean. So how close did you get to it, I wonder?
First round. I mean, I didn't get a call back or nothing, which is, I was knocked out pretty quick. But, I have the script that says, do not share. And the part of it that I think is worthwhile is that the part that I auditioned for, it never ended up going to film. The show got cut short after just two seasons. So if they're ever looking to start it back up and they need somebody who's willing to play Kevin McHale for season three whenever they bring it back up, I'm ready to go.
Wow. That is a great story. My wife was in fighting back the Rocky Blyer movie, not with a big part. She was just a fan sitting in the stands, but she lived in Brockway. She grew up in Brockway, Pennsylvania, which is up near Dubois. And they needed extras, right? I think people to sit in the crowd or be lined up for tickets, whatever it was. So her dad drove her all the way in from Brockway in the middle of the night. You had to be there at 6 a.m. or something. And she's in that movie, a little shot of her in fighting back the Rocky Blyer story. How about that?
That's impressive.
That's a heck of a story.
Have you ever been in a sports movie, Sean?
I think I was just in the crowd. What was the Jean-Claude Van Damme, Sudden Death?
Yeah.
At the Igloo. Yeah, I think I was just in the crowd, but I wouldn't really count that.
So you didn't audition or anything or show up?
No, but I was curious. So did you have to do any scenes if you would have gotten this part that involved basketball? Because why would they need to know your basketball background if you weren't actually playing basketball in the series?
Yeah.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yeah, that would have actually been a critical component of it. Would have been that, you know, for those who've watched the show, is that there's a lot of scenes where it is fairly, clear what kind of basketball that they're playing. It's pretty high quality. And, you know, as far as my basketball knowledge goes, one of the scenes that would have been a critical one for me in that role would have been when Kevin McHale clotheslines Kurt Rambis during the NBA Finals. So,
oh, my God.
I don't know who the Kurt Rambis character would have been, but I don't know if I quite have that in me. You'd really have to get under my skin and, you know, be trying to untuck my jersey or something like that when I'm playing to get that side of me out. But yeah, it would have been a lot of basketball, which I think is one of the reasons I personally really liked the show, is that as far as sports series goes, the quality of play was really excellent from all the actors who were in it. And there are a lot of basketball scenes that, you know, maybe not perfectly accurate, but the actor who played Kareem did a solid job with the skyhook. The actor who played Magic does a good job with dishing assists. Like, it's
you
a
better work on your step through move.
Yeah, you got to work on your McHale exactly. Step through move for sure. I've got that move. I could have showed you. Who at the Fan among our hosts would be good in sports roles? Can you think of any? Let's start with Adam Crowley. Who could he be? Rich Rodriguez, maybe, question. Or could he be Pat McAfee? Could he be the punter from the if they did a 13-9 Requiem? Could Crowley miss easy field goals? McAfee's built, though. Crowley's not, right? Who could Crowley be? Anybody?
A dainty old woman, perhaps?
Oh, my God. That's a little rough.
It's quite aggressive.
That was aggressive. Do you not like Crowley?
No, I like Crowley. He's a good guy. He's just not very athletically built.
He would definitely be a kicker. How about Doran could just be Doran, right? In a story about one of the Pitt football seasons. He could be a lot of people. I mean, he's literally an NFL player. So you could put him in any sports movie and he'd be great. How about Mueller? Who could he be in a sports movie? Anybody? We need a bald man with a big head. How about the coach of the Jets? You could do the Robert Saleh story starring Chris Mueller.
I was going to say, you could stick with the first name, Chris Boswell.
Chris Boswell, you could do that.
Yeah.
Does Pony look like anybody from sports history?
I think they were talking about this before. I think there's a Major League Baseball player that he resembles, perhaps. He's pretty big guy. He could definitely portray a basketball player. He's every bit of 6'3", 6'4".
Who could Ron have been? There was actually a Ron Cook who pitched for the Houston Astros at one time. Although he bore no resemblance
and
to our Ron Cook.
There was that running back from Buffalo, right?
Yeah, Ron Cook Jr. from the University of Buffalo. Ron would have been a coach or a GM in one of these things.
George Carl. He could be George Carl.
He could be.
Ooh,
a bearded, I like George, that. Yeah, bearded George Carl. That's cool, though. I'm glad you told us that story, Destiny's Child. I think that took guts for you to pursue that, or just, like, you know, aggressively pursuing something that was very cool. And you at least you got your foot in the door.
Yeah, they can't say I never applied for a gig in Hollywood. You can't take that away from me. But it's, I don't know. I like throwing my name out there. I don't think I'm particularly afraid of failure, which maybe is a good thing for the industry. But, you know, it's something that it's a great story to tell at a bar. I'll say that much. Whenever I tell people that one, especially basketball fans, they either can't believe it and demand I show the script or something like that. So it's something that I love telling it to folks. It's a good conversation starter.
It really is. It's interesting how these things work, that the guy who wrote the book was also the guy who was trying to cast the movie in some ways. But let me ask you before I go about the Pirates. Are they going to do anything meaningful in this offseason to try and take advantage of a window they have with maybe the greatest pitcher who's ever lived? It would seem to behoove them to maybe maximize that. And unless you think... Yeah. Who's the guy they got, the first baseman? I can't even remember his name. Swink?
Spencer Horowitz.
Unless you think he's one of their answers. What are they doing? What are they doing?
Well, the long and short of it is this, I think. And, you know, I'll try to keep this concise. But I think the reality is that in Major League Baseball right now, where you exist in an era where there is no salary cap, there is no salary floor, and the TV revenue is in flux relative to what it's been in the past, and you have an ownership that exists like it is in Pittsburgh, where Bob Nutting has demonstrated not to be, you know, a fiscally irresponsible owner, anything but that, somebody who is going to be very conservative with the money, you're not going to go out and get the big-name free agents. From talking to people at the winter meetings, this team is not going to get better through splash free agent signings.
How about Jock Peterson for $15 million? $15 million for Major League Baseball owner and team is like me or you spending a quarter. How about Jock Peterson as your cleanup hitter for $15 million?
Would love to see it, but hey, that, you know, Tyler O'Neill you could have gotten for $15 million, and that made a heck of a lot more sense for the Pirates. Jock Peterson at this stage of his career, that's a DH only. He's an atrocious outfielder by the metrics and really by the eye test too. So unless that's with the intention of not bringing back Andrew McCutchen,
no, just
Peterson is a good Pittsburgh.
Platoon them. Peterson's a lefty who crushes right-handed pitching, so he plays most of the time. I don't care. All these guys can leave their gloves at the hotel. They need hitting.
They do, but I think the correct answer in my mind is you got to be willing to trade some pitching to go get some hitting.
I agree.
That, sure, you could dish out $15 million to a guy like Peterson. I'd much rather see the Pirates be bold and aggressive and be willing to part with one of their young starting pitchers the way they did with Luis Ortiz. Go do that again and go get an outfielder who's club controllable for 4 or 5 years. That, to me, is what they absolutely should do.
Will
they? Not necessarily as convinced.
Well, when you guys were writing from the meetings, I don't remember if you were part of that. I think you were with the Noah Constrictor. They're telling people that Jared Jones and Keller are available. Do you think either one of those guys does get traded?
I think if one of the guys is to get traded, I would say Keller is the more likely for two reasons. One, because, you know, he is a more proven major league commodity, but also has less of an upside at this stage of his career. And two, he's locked into a contract that, if we're going by market value, market rate for a mid-level rotation starter, Mitch Keller absolutely fits that. That's an affordable contract for most teams. And not to mention, is it affordable? You can do that in a clean swap player for player, bring somebody back who, to your point, Joe, you could bring in an outfielder who's making that $10 to $15 million a year contract. You could do that for Mitch Keller. So I don't know if I would say that it's more likely than not, but I think it's certainly still a possibility. And I think the way you have to look at it is this. This is more speculation on my part, but if you're the Pirates, you really should be willing to listen to phone calls on pretty much everybody except for Brian Reynolds and Paul Skeens and maybe O'Neill Cruz. Outside of that, I think you've got to be willing to listen. You've got to hear teams out, especially because you've got so many young pitchers and you've demonstrated not being capable of developing major league level hitters. So if it takes outsourcing that, a perfect trade partner like the Orioles, who have demonstrated the inverse where they can't develop pitchers, but they can develop, you know, a boatload of hitters, maybe that's a great place to start. We know the Orioles are looking to fill the void of Corbin Burns leaving, and they're not going to be able to bring him back. Maybe Mitch Keller makes a heck of a lot of sense in Baltimore. That's more speculation on my part than anything, but I think he's a guy who's a prime trade candidate that I would say you have to listen to phone calls on.
Very well said, although I would shorten my list of untouchables to Paul Skeens, period. But this is why we pay you the big bucks, Destiny's Child. What a great story about how you were almost Kevin McHale on an HBO TV special. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
What a man he is, huh, Sean?
Yeah, that was incredible. And by the way, we've gotten the texters chiming in on who some of the fan personalities could portray. So I think some of these are pretty good.
Yeah.
Crowley could be Earl Weaver. Now, I'm not real familiar with what he looks like.
Earl Weaver was a short sort
loud,
of stumpy
and obscene
guy.
Yes.
Well, short, loud, and obscene. I do like that. Yes.
Also, two consecutive texts saying Crowley could be a horse jockey.
Oh.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.